Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. We hope you enjoy today's message. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com.
All right, Emery. Well, welcome, and thank you so much for being at Crossroads this morning. Steve started last week an awesome journey just on talking about identity and identity in community. And I mean, we talk and teach identity to middle schoolers and high schoolers and to the young ones all the time because identity is such a hot topic. Okay, I did a Google search. Identity by itself, like 400 million hits, okay? Just enormous, like just type in the word identity and Google's like, bloop, 60 seconds or less. And you're like, hey, thanks, I don't like waiting. Then I did identity in Christ. That one had 80,200,000 hits. And so I kind of did a little math. If I live, and I think I will, and I kind of believe I am, to be 110 years old, I would still only have enough lifetime if I went to each website to only get like a quarter of all those websites and take in all the information of what people are putting out there about our identity in Christ. And so identity, Steve taught us last week and shared so deeply about just in community, we need to have identity. And in community, we can find our identity because we're listened and lightened up by the people that are around us and they equip us. Yes, please help yourself to gummies. It is snack time right now in Sunday school. And you cannot learn when you're hungry. And some of us, we're not ourselves when we're hungry. Okay, so if you need to get something to eat, go get something to eat. Adults as well, help yourself. And so as that's going on, we're going to set up our journey with identity today. We're going to hang out with one of my good friends. His name is Buzz Lightyear, and he is a space ranger. And if you've seen the movie Toy Story, you know, or maybe you don't, Toy Story is a whole movie about a journey in identity. And so let's take a look. Buzz Lightyear has just been opened by his owner, Andy, and Andy has put him in the privileged place on top of his bed. And Buzz Lightyear's identity, he's been out of the box maybe 5 minutes, and it's already being challenged by Woody. So let's take a look.
Please be careful. You don't want to be in the way when my laser goes off.
Hey, a laser? How come you don't have a laser, Woody?
It's not a laser. It's a little light bulb that blinks.
What's with him?
Laser envy.
All right, that's enough. Look, we're all very impressed with Andy's new toy.
Toy?
T-O-Y. Toy.
Excuse me, I think the word you're searching for is Space Ranger.
The word I'm searching for, I can't say because there's preschool toys present.
Getting kind of tense, aren't you?
Mr. Lightyear, now I'm curious. What does a space ranger actually do?
He's not a space ranger. He doesn't fight evil or shoot lasers or fly.
Excuse me.
Oh, impressive wingspan. Very good.
Oh, what? What? These are plastic. He can't fly.
They are a pterillium carbonic alloy, and I can fly.
No, you can't.
Yes. I can.
You can.
Can.
Can. Can. Can.
I tell you, I could fly around this room with my eyes closed.
Okay, then, Mr. Lightbeer, prove it.
All right, then I will. Stand back, everyone. To infinity and beyond.
I found my moving buddy.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
That wasn't flying. That was falling with style.
All right. And so when we think about identity, it's challenged. Our identity's challenged. Buzz Lightyear's identity was challenged. Now, we come into the world and we're small children, and maybe we get dedicated, maybe we don't get dedicated, but our identity is something that it seems like we're always on the journey for. We're always seeking to find our journey. And when I look at middle school students and I talk to high school students and I'm teaching them about journey, I'm like, listen, you're not in a place that no adult isn't in either. But the sooner that we find a way to understand who you are in identity, the better off you'll be. Because there are adults still struggling with who am I and what is my point and why am I here? And I've been on this journey. And I've been on this journey for a very long time. And so today I'm going to kind of share some of the things I've discovered as I'm just clawing away at identity. And so one of the verses that we're going to really kind of focus in on today at first is John 10:10. Now, many of you might know this. It says, "The thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, this is Jesus speaking here. And he is laying it out like there are two forces in this world. There's the thief who's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and there is I, and I am coming that you may have life and have it to the full. Not partial life, not a piece of life, but to the full. And so Jesus is laying this out for us. And so like Buzz Lightyear, I mean, he's experiencing life to the full at the beginning because he's on Andy's bed, and Woody is objecting to that because it's actually a Woody comforter on top of that bed. And he's calling out Buzz's identity, like, this is a mistake, you shouldn't be here. You know, you're not a space ranger, you're a toy. Now, the truth is, Buzz is a toy. But in his mind, his identity has already been formed that he is a space ranger fighting the powers of Zerg. Now, when we go through life, as we grow up, we start creating things that become our identity. And so, like, in a big vase, it might look something like that. Like, there's my family. Now, that's not my family, because my identity was crazily already formed and solidified by my mother and father and my brother before I even met my wife. And so we can have this become part of our identity, the family that I grew up with. Then you can come up with the friends that I ran with, the people that I hung out with. They became part of my identity, whether we did good things or whether we did bad things. Then there could be a large chunk of it, just how I see myself. Because let's face it, I grew up in the 80s and it wasn't a selfie world then, but we looked in the mirror a lot, okay? And if you were an 80s kid, you know what I'm talking about. We just looked in the mirror a lot, you know? We didn't need video games or iPhones. We just had a bathroom and a mirror. So we're like, I'm home. Yeah, Mom, I'm fine. What are you doing? I'm looking in the mirror. And so our identity of who we are, you know, we kind of self, you know, created it. Now, in my life, in my journey, I had this relationship with God that I had at church. I had a relationship with God that I had with my family. And then I had a relationship with God that I had with my friends. And so those all became part of who my identity is, me having a relationship with God. And surprisingly, I had three different relationships with God with the three different groups of people that I would be with. Because at any given time, who I was with determined what my relationship with God was. And so these things start filling us up and forming around us, and they kind of solidify, you know. And then I, you know, grow older in life, and I meet my wonderful family, and I meet my wife, and then we have children, and I'm like, man, my identity is already chock full, but man, now I've got kids. And there's like four of them. And so they take up a lot of space. I have my wife, which is probably the most beautiful rock in the vase. And so these things start filling us up. And so then I can say, okay, I know my identity. My identity is based right there. That is who I am. That is what I function from. That's what I function out of. This is me. But we all know that's not true. Because in my life, I have a job as a pastor. In my life, I have a past of previous employment and different things that I did that carry in my identity still today, okay? There's a phrase in my previous job that I used to use a lot. It was called, back off. I've only used it once on my wife in public, and I'll never do that again, you know? And so, you know, we have these things, and they just kind of become nuances. Now, in these little things too, we have responsibilities. Like, I got to take care of my kids. I got to take care of my relationship with God. I've got to, you know, make my boss happy. And Steve's very happy to make eat happy. Steve's easy to make happy. You just give him Reese's peanut butter cups. And so you just keep growing all this stuff. And we're like, okay, we're getting kind of to a full life. We're getting to a place that looks like, you know, my son Samuel's shaking his head. It's not full. But I mean, you know, if I was to call it full, I feel like I'm so busy already. And things are just too much. And I'm like, I don't know how I handle it. But how I handle it and how some of us handle it is when we look at the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I have come that they may have life to the full. If you're a follower of Christ, you might have heard that verse and you're like, I'm living life to the full. And so I'm going to fill my life up some more. And then we get into this wonderful stuff called sand. Now, sand has a way of seeping down, getting between the nooks and the crannies. And what I like to describe in my life as the sand, the thing that touches almost everything else in my life, are my emotions. I am an emotional guy. I used to cry a lot. I don't do that so much anymore. You don't have time with four kids. And you can never let your kids see you cry. But Brian would probably tell you something different. But the emotions in my life kind of like are my guide. They rule me. And so if I'm happy, I got a lot of happiness. And I like happiness. And if I'm sad, got a little bit of that here and there. I'm stressed out. Sometimes you could ask Elaine, I got a lot of that. And then sometimes I'm just okay. I'm happy and sad and excited at the same time. And so for me, my life has always been this roller coaster of emotions. And my emotions have led my identity. And in my search for what is my true identity, who am I, I have learned that emotions can't be that place, you know, because you get stuck with something like this. I've got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of stuff to do. I think it's overflowing, but really, it's not. I feel like it's overflowing because I feel like there's so much going on in my life, but it's not. And this becomes my life, and it becomes my identity. Now, we're going to review this at the end, but pay attention to this. This is my identity. This is how I define me. On any given good day, I can define me as I don't like myself. I'm angry. I'm tired. I'm overloaded. I have too much stuff to do. And so I look at somebody and I give them a mean look, and then I might give them a private, "Arr." And I just treated my neighbor like myself. So I completed the second greatest commandment. Because that one I always struggled with. Love your neighbor like yourself. But Jesus, I don't love myself right now. I don't love me. I don't love who I am. And I struggled. And so I began an identity quest to figure out who I am. But this is where I started. And this is the reason it put me on this quest. Now, we're going to go back and rejoin our friend Buzz because he's on the similar quest. He's trying to figure out who he is. Woody says he's a toy, but he says he's a space ranger. And then he comes up against this.
Come in, Buzz Lightyear. This is Star Command. Buzz
Star
Lightyear,
Command.
Do you read me?
Buzz Lightyear responding. Read you loud and clear.
Buzz Lightyear, planet Earth needs your help.
On the way.
Buzz Lightyear.
The world's greatest superhero, now the world's greatest toy. Buzz has it all. Locky, crisp communicator.
Calling Buzz Lightyear.
Karate chop action.
Wow.
Pulsating laser light. Multi-ray voice simulator.
In a secret mission in uncharted space.
In a secret mission in uncharted space.
Investable high pressure space wings.
To infinity and beyond.
Not a flying toy.
Get your Buzz Lightyear action figure and save a galaxy near you.
Buzz Lightyear.
Available at all Al's Toy Bound outlets in the Tri-County area.
Now I know exactly who I am and what I'm here for.
You are a toy, you can't fly.
And I will go sailing. But no, it can't be true. I could fly if I wanted to, like a bird in the sky. If I believed I could fly, why I'd fly
to infinity and beyond.
So that's where I ended up, and a lot of us end up at times, because in our entire identity, we have all the big things that we think are important. We have the things that we want to hang on to. We have all of our emotions, so we say we're feeling life, we're experiencing life, and if we're experiencing life and if we're feeling life, then surely it's got to be life to the full. It's got to be good. But in March of last year, I took like about a 10, 12, 15 foot, I like to say 15 foot, fall off a ladder at a middle school lock-in. And it cracked my head open, broke my wrist. And I was in a daze for probably about 4 or 5 months. I didn't know I was in a daze, but I was in a daze. The way I was leading was in a daze. The way I was doing everything was in a daze. The way I was doing family, the way I was loving my wife, loving my children was in a daze. But I didn't know it because I was like, boom, I got all this. Got to keep going. There was no slowing down, even after surgery. I mean, Elaine cracked up because, you know, I read the book. I don't know if y'all read the book before you get surgery, if you've ever had surgery, but it's like, prepare your place for after surgery. You know, put the things you want near you. So I got the deep comforter to keep me warm. I pulled the bed back and I got my videos and got my computer. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm preparing my post-recovery place so that I recover quickly, you know. And this was still not enough. And so when I came out of the haze, probably around July, I was just like, man, something's wrong. I am hungry. I am hungry. I am hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry to know God. I got to know more God. I got to know more of God, okay? Because some people were like, dude, I knew somebody who fell off a ladder that fall. They're dead. I'm like, well, hey, thanks for telling me. You know, I'm sorry for your loss, you know, but I'm alive, and I need to know more. And so I continue to study and search out how do I define myself and match it to what the Bible says. Because I'm defining myself with all of this, and I've done great. I'm 50 years old next year. I've got 4 beautiful kids. I got a job I love. I feel like I'm impacting people, and it's just awesome. But it's still not enough. Now, in my search, another verse that I came across was this. John chapter 7, 37 through 39. And this one rocked my world. I've read it many times. I mean, I've heard Steve talk about it. Steve's been teaching about the flow. And it's just hit me. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant that the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. I feel like that's a sub, like, stretch, like, just in case you know, the Holy Spirit hasn't been given at this time, but they will be promised that. And so we're promised the Spirit. Now, I'm in the latter half. Jesus has been glorified. Jesus sits on the throne, so I have the Spirit of God in me. But I don't have living water flowing through me. And so we came to this realization that this is how I define myself. This is me, my best definition. But it's not enough. Now, if I include God, what I'm actually saying is, God, this is me. I have 3 rocks in here that represent my relationship with you as a child. Those rocks became one and represent the relationship that I have with you as an adult. But this is how it defined me. And as I studied this verse and I studied the living water and the flow, I realized that what has to happen is I have to live out of the definition that God has for me. Because my emotions touch everything for the most part inside of me, and they direct how I treat people. And I can be a butthead, and that's saying nice, okay? That's being nice. I can be downright mean, evil, and scary at times. If I'm living out of my definition. But when I bring in God, what happens is this. God has a flow in him that overflows. Okay? Now, God has the ability to touch everything inside of me. I have to let him. No. It's kind of part of the catch there, son, but thanks. Everything in there can get wet. Derek asked me to use the other side of the stage this time. But, so if we watch, we see that God just continues to go. Now, there's not a particle of water inside of there that hasn't been touched by water. So if this is God, then I'm saying, God, what's your definition for me? How do you define me, God? How do you show me who I am? Because I need you to touch everything that I've said who I am. I said I'm lazy. I said I'm slow because I'm dyslexic. I said I struggle because I barely got through high school, let alone 8 years of college, and I didn't get a master's. I went to junior college for 3 and didn't get an associate. I was having fun. But I need him to touch everything inside of me. And so I basically came to God and I said, God, let's start slow. Give me 4 words that you define me with. Because I've got a whole list of words in my head. And that's my identity, and it's not working. And so God began to show me. Now, he's a good God, and he only gave me 4 to start with. But you have to see that it's a constant flow. See, it's rivers of streams that flow. It never stops. I mean, I have more water. Derek would probably appreciate it if I didn't. But if you want me to, I will. I'll be cleaning it up. But living water flows through us. And so the 4 words he gave me, he said, you're loving, you're love, you're peace, you're kindness, and you're encouraging. And so when I stepped back and I said, okay, this is everything that I've defined my identity with and compared it to with God, I'm like, man, we're looking at night and day. But I'll tell you this, God, man, when I am those first 4 words that you're giving me, man, I'm feeling like me. I'm not an upfront guy. I'm a servant. I'm not a guy who wants any major attention at times. I really just want to be behind the scenes. I want to do this. I want to do that. I love being where worth is. I love the sound booth, you know, because it is the ultimate control. I love being me. Now, this is great because it transposes. So with Ambler, I'm not going to ask you to come up here unless you want to. No, you weren't in the first service. But okay, so Ambler, she's in middle school, and so she's looking for freedom, right? She wants more freedom. Now, in our conversations that sometimes are not heated, but yet they're intense negotiations, okay, I had to look at her, and I was like, listen, this is what I know about you. I'm your father. I'm going to speak identity into you. Now, Ambler is in 6th grade, and she loves to cook, and she cooks our family a meal, like, I don't know, once a month, twice a month, you know, when it's working out well, that's like once a week. She makes sushi, okay? And it's like platters of sushi. And I'm like, and I didn't have to pay Aussie prices or Matsuhitsu prices, and all I get to do is stuff myself with sushi tonight. Now, I can tell you this about Ambler, and I pointed it out to her because this is the identity circle. When I'm overflowing because he's pouring into me, I got a lot more to give out. And when I had something to give out to her in a heated negotiation, it was this. You are your best when you serve. See, normal dinner time, you know, she might be eat the fastest. They all eat well. Elaine cooks very healthy for us and vibrant food. And a lot of times, you know, she's feeling the pressure of homework and this and that. She's like, all right, can I be excused? But my lovely wife's got a question every night. And so she's like, no, I haven't even got to the question yet. You've only been at the table for 4 minutes and 52 seconds. You know, but pressure leads the way. But now when she cooks dinner, oh, she's the last to leave. There is no be excused. It's like, hey, can I get you more? Do you like that sauce? Do you want this? Do you want that? You know, let me get you some more water. You know, she is that servant, and she is vibrant, and she is who she is. And, oh my gosh, she is easy for us to love. So our community at home is the most vibrant, functioning community when we are overflowing with his love. That is it, people. Steve talked about community. We need it all. Because imagine if we were a community of people who were overflowing, and every time we come together, man, we're worshiping God, we're overflowing, kids are smiling, parents are smiling, people, somebody's hurting, we're boom, we're on it. Like, dude, let's pray, let's help you, let's get you through this, because then with this community, and then that transpires and flows outside. And so flowing in his spirit. So when we look at identity, I'm going to show you some of the things that I've discovered. Okay? I've got four verses, four little points that you can take home and put into practice. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Boom. It's celebratory. It's exciting. It's new. When was the last time you felt new? You wake up in the morning, you're like, I'm new. I'm new today, man. It's like I'm just being taken out of the package for the first time. That's what God wants us to feel every day. That's what this verse is talking about. It's not, yes, Jesus, I accept you into my heart. Thank you so much. Oh, I'm new. And then tomorrow, you're like, well, I was new yesterday. Yes, today I'll do whatever I want. No, it's the overflowing flow that makes us new. And it's beautiful. And this is something I've discovered in my pursuit of identity. And as I'm saying, I live by the definition God has for me, not the definition I have for me. I'm new every day. The old is gone. Tomorrow will be new. Last night, I opened up an Apple TV 4K 32 gig box, and it was new. It was new. I put it on there. I'm like, I really need to get ready for tomorrow morning, but I had a leaders meeting with my middle schoolers, got leaders, and they all left, and so I'm like, it's 8 o'clock. I got time. Put that Apple 4K out. Turned it on, plugged it in, sitting there thinking, okay, here we go. Click, 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 click. But no, the Apple 4K said, Chris, do you want us to sync with your phone and get all the data we need? And I was like, okay. Hit okay. It said, please ensure your Bluetooth connectivity is on your iPhone and set it next to the Apple 4K device. Phone opens up, and the TV screen says, copying Wi-Fi codes now, copying Netflix passwords now. I mean, it just did it all. It was incredible. And I'm like, this is new. I want to feel that new every day. I love technology, and I love new technology. But I want to feel that new every day. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we can, we have a right, and that's one of his definitions for us, that we're new, and we're new every day. Let's take a look at Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we've heard faith. You hear it everywhere. In the 80s, George Michael sang about it, right? But faith for most of us and for me used to be knowledge. Like, yes, I have faith. I believe. I believe. But in my search for identity, I've discovered that this verse is talking to me and maybe to you and to everybody. It's screaming that faith is experiential because it says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. It's not talking about head knowledge. It's talking about like each day I walk in faith. Each day I live in faith. Each day I exhibit faith. Each day I'm overflowing with experiences that increase my faith. Like, oh my gosh, God was right there. I just almost missed it, but he was right there. That's experiential. That's something I experienced. I lived it, right? That faith is always flowing when that becomes your identity. And so for me, it was kind of like an experience. God, give me four words, just four, God. That's all I can handle at first, that you define me with. And then his voice comes into my heart and my soul, and he echoes out four words. I'm like, today, that is me. I'm going to be that person today. I'm not going to be who I feel. I'm not going to be what this says. I'm going to be what you say that overflows. So experiential faith, faith that's alive, not faith that's just knowledge. I love theology. I love studying God. I love seeing all the facts. But I love the experience more. John 1:12-13. Yet to all who did receive him, those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. My identity? I'm a child of God. I live in that identity. That means I'm an heir to the throne. Jesus is my brother. And he sits in the heavenly realm before me. And he waits for me, and he counsels me, and he guides me. He sent his spirit to live in me. I am a child of God. My spirit lives in my children. sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, not that one. Another spirit, please. Because I'm like, no, that's not, no, no, you know. But they are us, and I am them. You know, we're one. And God says, I'm a child. And so from this, it's like, we are an heir to a throne, and not an inheritance that, oh, you got it coming to you when you die. It's going to be great in heaven. No, an inheritance that I can live out of right now in my identity. Not wait. Every communication that I have with my children can be something that I can give them that they can have now and for eternity as I speak identity in them, as I speak identity into my friends and loved ones, an heir to the throne. That means I look behind me and I got an army. And we're going forward, not behind, because they've got my back. Let's check out this one. John 15:15. I love this one. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Man, when I was back with just rocks and gravel and sand and no flowing spirit, I was just a servant. Yes, Jesus is my master. I'm a servant. It's good to be his servant. But now I'm a co-laborer. We're partnering together to change things. He's changing things in me every day. Because I'm new every day. Because I'm a child of God. Because I experience him through my faith. I don't just have faith. I experience him. And this is the game changer. I'm a co-laborer. So what's today, God? I don't know. Let's go do something. You know, every day is new and exciting. Every day is this identity of me being who he says I can be. And that is powerful. And I think it looks like this.
This is the part where we blow up!
Not today!
Ah! Hey, Buzz! You're flying!
This isn't flying. This is falling with style.
To infinity and beyond! We missed the truck!
We're not aiming for the truck!
Hey, wow!
What? What is it?
Woody! Buzz!
Oh, great, you found them. Where were they?
Here in the car!
See? Now, what did I tell you? Right where you left them.
All right. See, Buzz is a toy, but he's also a space ranger. And being both of those, he completes his purpose and his identity. Now, that's a toy. For us, our identity rests in God. But we get caught up with all the stuff beforehand, and we don't ever move to flowing water. And so as we come to the table today, I really want to challenge you. Before you come, I mean, let's face it, every one of us in here, it don't matter how old you are, how young you are, you got identity issues. We're always in that battle. We want more of God, and we want to know who we are. And so I would challenge you this morning, before you come to the table, just take that time of reflection and ask God, who do you say I am? Start with one word. Start with two. Start with, I mean, some of y'all are probably in a deeper, closer relationship with God than I have obtained. And you may be like, give me 10, God, I can handle it. You know, for me, it was 4. But I challenge you to ask God to reveal 4 words that he says, this is how I define you. Now, I'm going to encourage you, because we did this with high school about 3 weeks ago in our Wednesday morning breakfast. And at the beginning, I said, give me 4 words that you would use to define yourself. And then at the end of our time, after our study, I said, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to ask God, give you 4 words to it that he defines you with. And every one of them got it. God's willing to talk. We just need to be willing to listen. And so I just challenge you this morning to ask God for 4, however many you want, words that he defines you with. And now here's the challenge. As you get those words for the rest of this day and for the start of tomorrow, a new day, say, I will live out of the words that God is defining me by. I will not live out of the words that I define myself out of. And here's why. You can choose to live out of the words that you define yourself with, and it will affect this life right now. And when you die and you're in the presence of the Lord, you will then live out of His definition for you. If you choose today to live out of the definition that He has for you, then you will live today, tomorrow, and continuing in that definition, and it will carry on into eternity. And so I challenge you, ask God to define you. Ask God to show you who He says you are, and allow that to change your perception of you and the perception of how you live with others in community. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll... Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank You so much for today. Lord, I thank You for cartoons and just the lessons that can be learned. Father, we hunger to know You more, because in You we find ourselves. And so, Father, I just pray that this morning that Your voice would just resonate as it resonates so loud in our hearts and in our soul. Lord, that we would just come to You, and You who are the best Father ever and knows how to give good to their children. Lord, that You would speak words over us, that we can say, today we live out of that. I leave what's behind, and today I live out of Your definition, God. Lord, I just pray for each of us to just have experiences with You that increase our faith and cement our identity that we're Your children, because children always know their Father's voice. Father, I just thank You so much and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.